Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
How's everybody doing? I want to say a huge thank you to Matt Sachs. I listened to his message, fantastic message on sharing Christ and the need for evangelism, and I appreciate his stepping in. Can you just give him some appreciation with me as well, wherever he disappeared to? Oh, he's out there in the he's in the lounge over there. I guess we'll call that the lounge. We'll have to come up with some name for that. I do have just a couple things. I was wanting to share a lot about the trip. Today's not the day to do that. I still have to compile stuff, but I'm going to just kind of do a little teaser. We will do that the last Sunday of the year, the Sunday after Christmas. I'll kind of go through the entire trip, but just a quick little overview. This was a Disciple Heritage Fellowship partnership with the established ministry of First Christian Church in Decatur, because they've been taking medical teams into Cuba for a long time, and they take a VBS once a year. They have high school kids go and put on a VBS for the Cuban kids, and they have somehow allowed, the government allows them to go in and do that. We went under a humanitarian visa, and we brought some things in, and our goals were to gain a better understanding, first of all, of the church in Cuba. We knew about this one church, but about the churches all across the nation, to discover how Disciple Heritage Fellowship can better assist them in assessing what their real needs were, because we have this thing as kind of Americans where we think that we need to project how we do things on them, and sometimes it doesn't work. They're a very family-oriented culture, and so we were wanting to find out what they really needed and what are we called to do, because sometimes you can see all kinds of needs, and maybe you're not called to meet that need. So we were spending some time in conversations with pastors, in conversations with individuals in the networking of the church in Cuba, which is a very difficult thing because of the relationship between the government and the church, and it's a very rough relationship. And so they have to keep secret. The church in Cuba, there's a tremendous revival going on in Cuba, and I mean a tremendous revival. I was taken back at how much of a revival is, but they have to keep it underneath the radar. And the other thing that we need to do is to build relationship with Cuban Christians. And so we did a lot of those things. I think the next slide is the team that we went with. If you kind of click that, the next slide there. Okay, that's a home church. So that's that building there on the left with the blue. It's kind of like it looked like an old hog building or lean-to, and then they put a concrete floor. That's the floor there. They just brought some little benches in, and that's their church. That's a normal home church. A lot of things are done in homes and neighborhoods because they don't have the ability to get all the way across. There is a large church. A lot of the Catholic churches are pretty much dying away and have become museums in Cuba, but the Protestant church is growing tremendously. So this is one of the home churches. There's a lot of home churches around, and then those pastors, they meet, like I said, they'll get together like at 9, and they'll go, you know, way past noon, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, up 2 o'clock on special services. That's a long time. And it's very hot in the building. We did a lot of praying for pastors. That's us getting together in the large church. And we were praying for some, you can see me in the back with my sunburned head, which is peeling pretty bad since I've been back. And that's the team there. We gathered together. We gave encouragement. We listened to them. But to be honest, there's a lot of things that they're doing that are just phenomenal. If you go to the next one, okay, that's a picture on the team in the upper left hand. We met in Atlanta and went down. So I'm going to talk at greater length a little bit later, but I just kind of wanted to give you a teaser. It was a fantastic trip. There were some scary times, but on hindsight, it probably wasn't as scary as we thought it was at the moment. But there are some hiccups at the beginning. It was a communist country. I'd never been in a communist country before. And I want to tell you, nothing was so great as coming into the old US of A and hearing the immigration person say, "Welcome home." And I was like, yes, the toilets that will take toilet paper. Yes. Okay. So lots of fun things. Anyway, that's a story for another time. So we've been looking at this. Christmas is a time for music. How many of you love Christmas music? Any lover? Yeah, lovers of Christmas. Now, there's some that are annoying, like the ruff, 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 or the hens. You know, those are not the Christmas songs. They've taken those things and they've made them, and some of the, now I guess, there's some controversy about some other songs, and they're trying to kind of throw out different things in our society today having to do with Christmas. But Christmas is all about music, and we have programs at school. We have things like Christmas caroling tonight. Christmas caroling tonight as a church, it's pretty awesome. And we've got plenty of room. It's not just a kids thing. So I encourage you, it's great to go visit our homebound, to go visit the nursing homes, and to just carol, to just sing to them. It's a great thing that we do as a church family. We break into a couple of groups. So if you're free at 4:30, we're going to go. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is to sing out loud for all to hear, those people who like Elf. We're going to do that tonight. And I want you to know that Scripture is full of songs around Christmas, and sometimes we forget about that. We really do forget about it. We looked a couple weeks ago, the last time that I was with you, at Zechariah's song, right around the birth of Christ, is after the birth of John the Baptist, and he began to have this song that welled up inside of his heart, and it was such that he declared the greatness of God and the faithfulness of God. We're going to look at another song today. Okay, another song. Because I want you to know that the manifestation of God's love, okay, the manifestation of God's love moves the soul to sing. Okay? It really does. I watched, we brought some things, some gifts to these Cuban people. And one of the things, there was a person who worked as our translator, and the team gave him a new iPhone that we had purchased, and we have the plan here, so we're able to pay for it in the States, but he's able to use it and help communicate to the church because they don't have internet, they don't have any of those things, okay? There's no very, very, very little communication with the outside world except that which is monitored by the government. So we gave this guy this iPhone, and he walked an entire block. I got an iPhone, I got the, and he was just so happy, and he was hopping up and down. Damn, it was just amazing. And to a lot of us, have you ever been so happy that you sang? Yep. Boy, we got some Grinches today. What's with this? Go back to Cuba. Goodness gracious. So, you're moved to song, and that's what we see here. And so we want to look at another opportunity to see about songs around Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Hang on to your seats today. I really like this. We read in Luke chapter 2, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. You guys know this story. And they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now get this. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. So you're out on a hill with your flock, and an angel shows up. And the glory of the Lord is around them. You're going to be afraid as well. You are going to be very much afraid. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. These guys were minding their own business. I want to tell you, they were not in a church service. They were not sitting there saying, "Oh Lord, show us your glory." These were some random, everybody say random, some random guys, average, ordinary Joes, doing their job with their sheep, minding their business, and God showed up. Okay. And the angel said to them, verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, everybody read verse 14 together. Ready? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is an amazing thing. The angels broke forth in song. Now, here's the points today. You think, well, what does that have to do? That was great for them. What does that mean to little old me in Pike, Tucky in 2018? How does that affect my life today? What change, what difference is that for us? And here's what I want to tell you. My first point today is this, is Christ comes to the average man. Christ comes to the average man. Now, a lot of you may have thought, you know, yeah, I began a journey. I began to try to seek the Lord. But for some of us, you had no other choice. And the real truth was that before you were ever drawing close to God, God was drawing close to you. God had chosen you for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. And the angels didn't just randomly come across these individuals. Okay? Why didn't they go to some scribes? Why didn't they appear to some musicians? I mean, wouldn't you have liked them that they could have shown up to some musicians who could have heard the song and could have relayed the song and written it down and then we could have heard that? Why was this tremendous, amazing miracle? Why did it come to these individuals? Why not to someone, a scribe or a musician who could adequately articulate and replicate it? Gang, it wasn't by accident that this encounter took place. It was not by accident. The angels didn't randomly choose a place and randomly choose a time, but it was with great intent and great purpose that this event took place. And what it means is the angels were on assignment to share with the shepherds. In other words, God comes to the average person. Yeah, I get tired sometimes. Honestly, I really do when individuals will come and I'm happy to do it, but they're like, oh, would you talk to God for me? Like, God wants to talk to you. God wants to talk to each one of you. You are important. And if you think, well, I'm just random, I'm just a guy, I'm a face in the crowd and I like it that way, I want you to know, no, you're not. God's got your picture on His refrigerator. He's got a picture of you on his car. I know he doesn't have car keys. I get that. But the truth is, God loves you. And God comes to the ordinary, to the average person. He doesn't just look for the extraordinary. And because that, you are special in God's eyes. He didn't come to the royalty, but to the common man. And I want you to think about this. It was to the common man that the concert of the ages was sung. Just to an average person. I mean, I begin to think, would this be a waste? I mean, would you go out and get the most prime cut of beef, you know, filet mignon, and then cook it and then just send it to the dog? Would you do that? I mean, and yet God brought this in this amazing concert to focus, to let us know something. And then here's the message that went along with it. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. I want that to resonate with you. The message that the angels gave was, he said, for unto you is born. He didn't say, oh, for unto all man. I know you could think, oh, well, he meant you in the plural sense. No, he was actually talking about individually. God was coming to you. For unto you. We would say it, for unto me. A child is born. It is that personal, gang. Yes, it's us, but we are part of us. The shepherds were not highbrow folks. And as I thought about this, you know, as you thought about shepherds, and I got to meet some shepherds this past week. And some of them began to ask, you know, is this your government job? Because in Cuba, you have, if you have a farm, half of the farm is yours and half is the government's. And some individuals wanted to be farmers and other individuals really didn't want to, but they were chosen. Some individuals, it was handed down to them. And as I thought about these shepherds, some of them probably wanted to be there. Some of them, maybe this was their family business. Maybe they had a herd of sheep and it was given from their grandfather to their father. And now this responsibility was given to them, but they didn't really want to be there. And some of us come to church every Sunday and to be honest, we don't really want to be here. We would much rather just get on with the day and hopefully the bald guy won't speak so long that the Baptists eat all the chicken on the buffet. Hopefully we'll have that happen. And I want you to know that even if that's your posture, God is passionate about you. if you're even just randomly saying, you know what, I'm just here. Maybe I have to be here because my parents want me to be here and they force me. I want you to know if that's your condition and if that's where you are, God still loves you and He's still passionate and He's wanting to make a divine connection with you that transcends all eternity. Amen? Amen. So no matter what, these shepherds were here. It wasn't something special about them. It was God's purpose and this intent and this invitation that He had with them. And it lets us know something, that our worth is valued by God, not by the society around us. You just happen to be in that place. I want you, God values you. And Jesus came for the world, but He also came for you. And here's the issue with that fact. Because many of us, we feel unworthy and we try to draw back. We have fear. I went to this church Sunday night, and there's a couple ministers who were much older than me, and they were really, really good, pretty big name guys. And Sunday night one speaker was supposed to preach, and I just assumed it was going to be one of these other guys because they're better than me, far better than me. And I was like, hey, great. And so I'm getting ready. And all of a sudden they come up. They're like, you're up. No, this is Cuba, not Europe. No, wrong place. So, this tremendous honor was given to me. And I honestly wanted to listen to these other guys. I wanted to listen to the Cuban preachers. I wanted to hear those. And I just wanted to draw back. I was intimidated and scared. And yet this honor came. And so I got up and spoke, but I felt like I'm not worthy to be here. And I'm not, and I wasn't. And yet something inside said that God has a call. Everybody say calling.
Calling.
He has a calling for each and every one of you. A divine calling, a purpose for which you were made. And when He calls you out, brothers and sisters, don't just sit there, step up to the plate. He's got a message for us all. So, my second point today is this. Since God loves you, that means it has implications. Since God loves you, that has implications for your life. It means that He has a calling and He has a purpose. Now, is anybody nervous? You should be, because my second point today is this. Christ gives to ordinary man an extraordinary message and an extraordinary purpose. And this is intimidating. This is intimidating. Luke chapter 2, 9 through 10, as we read, and they were filled with fear. The thought that God wants to use you to share His message, I don't know about you, but I don't feel worthy to do that. Does anybody else struggle with that? That you're given, I mean, forget this. This is an eternal destiny. God wants to use you to change the destiny of people around you. More than just, I'm just going to throw a couple coins in the Salvation Army thing and then I got a warm fuzzy. I feel so good. I got my present for Adopt a Family and boy, I feel good. Good. Those are wonderful things to do. Praise God. But you know what? Maybe God wants to use you to change someone's destiny, to change someone's eternity, to let them know that there's a God who loves them, that you could be the vessel in which God brings them into salvation. They were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not." So, gang, the fulfillment of God's promises does mean something to you. And I love this. I, as I thought about the shepherds, again, some people I bet were shepherds because they didn't like people. Have you noticed that? There are some people who, you know, their best thing that they want to do is, I don't want to be around people. On my day off, I don't want to be around people. I like to go like to places away from human beings and just kind of be away from people. And there are some people who don't like people because, quite honestly, people can be jerks. Anybody know any jerks? Okay, great. There's some folks who would rather just not be around people. Any introverts in the room today? Why did I ask you to raise your hand? Of course you're not going to raise your hand. You're an introvert. Those who are not introverts, raise your hand. Okay, and then look at all the, okay. I just want to your mind for a minute. Guess who God called first wave to share the message of Jesus Christ? Introverts. Sorry, gang. Glad we already collected offering. There you go. You think, look, I'm not a preacher, but you've been given the message of eternity. And I want you to know the message of Christ brings change. And the first person it brings change to is ourselves. So don't you dare. I want you to think of the shepherds, because a lot of us here today, we are shepherds. We do not feel skilled to talk about God. What if I say something wrong? What if I mess it up? I don't want that responsibility. You can't shirk it. With the message of Christ is the command to share it. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing. Small ways, gang. The message of Christ brings change. God called them beyond their preference. And for some of us, God called them beyond their prejudices. Maybe you're called to share Christ with that annoying neighbor who drives everybody else crazy. That guy, every street's got that guy. The one who's just, maybe they're like that. They're the Grinch because they've been shunned so much, and that's your calling. So Christ calls us beyond our preferences, our prejudices, and our prohibitions. So to do something so far removed from what they knew. These shepherds weren't speakers, they weren't any good, and yet they're given this message. The shepherds became the first evangelists, and for some of us, that's the calling. And my third and final point today is this. If the overlooked are God's focused. The shepherds, I mean, they're pretty much a forgotten people. If the overlooked are God's focused, gang, they should be ours as well. There's so much of a move to try to look for individuals who will better our position and connect with them. But I want you to know, for some people, Christmas time, it's not a joyous time. For some people, Christmas is a reminder of what they don't have. For some individuals, Christmas time is a time of hurting. It's a time of ailing. It's a time of pain. People who've suffered loss. People who've been injured. People who've been wounded. People who've suffered maybe a wrong turn in their relationship. Maybe some people who have... I talk with individuals and they're lonely. We talk about Christmas caroling. One of my favorite memories of Christmas time is going and singing to some of our homebound. And we just think we're just going to go sing to them. And I usually hang out just a second afterwards. And after all the kids leave and the smiles stop, is when the tears starts. It's nice to know I'm not forgotten. It's nice to know that someone cares. And if the message of Christ went first and foremost to individuals who are the overlooked and the forgotten, boy, they should be our focus. Folks, there are people who are alone and there are people who are isolated. There are people who are poor and there are people who are troubled. And if God sought them out, so ought we. So I'd encourage you to look for opportunities this week and through the remainder of the Christmas season to share, and I said to share, the message of hope and love. Share it in a song. Adopt a family. Invite someone to your table. Steve Miraboli wrote this, that you want to keep Christ in Christmas, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, forgive the guilty, welcome the unwanted, care for the ill, love your enemies, and do unto others as you would have them, as you would have done to you. And then also, when we do those things, that's when we're really sharing the essence that Christ came. That's when we'll see the glory of God manifest here in this world. Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. How are we pleased with God? Not because of what we do. We're pleased with God when we have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life and allow that change to happen. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you are challenged to step outside your comfort zone and share the message of Christ. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for That message that rings and resonates through the ages. Thank you, God, that you've chosen the forgotten people. And Lord, for some of us, we just as soon align ourselves in the shoes of the shepherds. We would rather walk away from that responsibility, the anxiousness that it causes us. But Father, we're not alone. Thank you that you are with us. And I pray, God, as we meditate on your word today, as we consider the example of the shepherds, that we would be motivated beyond our own hesitancy and beyond our own self-judging and self-doubting, that we could simply, as your children, receive the message of the gospel and share it with those around us. However, Lord, cause us in our actions and the deeds that we do to resonate with the song of the ages. And so your glory will be seen here on earth. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, that let the Spirit move upon us this week and not let us become callous to opportunities that are right on our doorstep. I pray a blessing tonight in the Christmas caroling. I pray, God, that encouragement and love would flow. I pray, God, that as the Adopt a Family gifts are gathered together, that it's more than just giving some gifts. Father, I just pray a blessing. And I pray that lives would be transformed. Help us not miss opportunities, Lord, but embrace them joyfully. We pray this in Jesus' name. And Father, I also pray for the hurting, those who are wounded and alone this Christmas season, that the church family could reach out and share your love with them. And I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said,
the First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.